Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. Watch this. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Look at this next phrase. Without wavering. Then parentheses, for he is faithful that promised. So why should we be faithful? Why should we hold fast? Why should we not waver? Because you know what? If you're going to be like Jesus, then you know what? That's a characteristic of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be like God, if we're going to be godly, then you know what? That's a characteristic of our God. For he is faithful that promised. Verse 24, some responsibilities we have amongst ourselves, and let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and to good works. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Heavenly Father, Lord, just a simple message tonight, but boy, something that a preacher, a pastor just needs to come to the pulpit every couple years and just kind of blow the trumpet on. Thank you for the church, Lord. Thank you for what it means in my life and me and my wife's life, what it's meant to our family, to our children, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we'd love the church and we'd want to be faithful to church and we'd understand, Lord, the importance of church. And so, Lord, as we emphasize this tonight, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to develop a Bible conviction when it comes to church attendance. And so, Lord, bless this time we'll spend together in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And we're in the middle of the summer, and I want to say this. We don't have a stretch quite like summer. Fall's not the same. Winter's not the same. Spring's not the same. And you know your preacher. I'm one that gets up and says, hey, folks, we're busy around here, and we do a lot, and we have a lot planned. And we have summertime. We plan a few things we ask you to be at and participate in, but we also understand that you're trying to fit in family vacations, and I've always been a preacher. It's not been one to do anything but just cheerlead that. I love it when you take the time to take trips with your family. You're building memories with those kids. That's an important thing that you're doing. And so we're going to have folks that are going to miss church during the summertime as they're gone. I told somebody the other day, you know, we get two families back and we have three the next Sunday gone. We get those three back and we'll have two gone the next Sunday. And that's pretty much summertime, and that's okay. I want you to also understand that I understand that there's times that we would really like to be in church and we're providentially hindered. And you know what, folks? We're just frail flesh. And from time to time, there's going to be sicknesses. And those of you with families, you're going to have a child go down. And some of you, you know, have experienced this where you're dressed, ready to go, heading to the door, heading to the car to go to church. And one of the little ones, you know, decide they're going to, come on, gentlemen, redecorate your suit. Or you ladies, decorate your dress. And next thing you know, you got a sick child and part of the family staying home. And I want you to understand that. I'm not a pastor that just honestly flips out about this. I'm not one that sits up here on the platform and in the back of my Bible I have a list of all the families and I'm doing attendance. You know, we've got so much going on. We've got a size enough church that sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm sorry about missing last Wednesday. And I'll say, wow, yeah, I'm sorry too. And I thought, I didn't even know they weren't here, you know, so I didn't even notice. But I'm saying all this to say that I'm not holding anybody to judgment. I don't want a spirit in our church to develop where anytime somebody misses church, people just, you know, jump to the negative and assume the worst. And that's not a Christian spirit. But having said that, I am constantly trying to, from time to time, go to the pulpit and just, you know, keep our church from following some of the trends that I see. Not so much in our church, but trends that are happening across the country. You know, 2020 changed America. I mean, it changed corporate America. There's a lot of businesses that used to have their workers come in to work every single day. And you know what? 2020 kind of taught them something. Hey, you know what? If they can all work from home and we don't have to have brick and mortar and we don't have to have overhead, and so many Americans are working from home, and that was not the normal trend before 2020. And you know what? So it's changed America. And some of it, maybe for the better. But folks, when it comes to church, it's worrisome to me. You know, I was kind of forced, you know, I was one of those preachers that was forced to go live stream and forced to put our services online. I just always saw in my mind more negatives than I saw positives, and I never wanted to do it and didn't want to do it. I remember when I first met with the men and said, listen, folks, we're going to have to go live stream. We're going to have to, you know, that's the way we're going to have services for a time here. And I told our men, I made this statement, don't get used to it because we're not going to do it very long because I've just always been kind of against it. And then after we did it, man alive, we've got so many kids scattered across the country out in ministry, and they're texting me and say, Pastor, you have no idea what a blessing it is just to be able to tune in to the home church and just be able to have a little miniature homecoming, and what a blessing that is. And then, you know, our elderly and our shut-in people, you know, were the ones that really kind of convinced me. You know, Mrs. Townsley, folks, she can't come to church, okay? She just physically cannot come to church. And so she gets church twice. I will tell you, I'm a little bitter about that because she always tunes into her son Jim Townsley's service first, and then the church she's a member of second. I'm working through that. I'm working through it, okay? So pray for me. But no, totally understandable. So she's actually getting twice as much church as we are. And it's been a benefit. As I've gone through cancer treatments, you know, you folks have seen when I went through my 6 months of cancer treatments, you know, I could be here half the services. I had to miss half the services. I'm going to tell you something. Thank God that I could at least watch, you know, and it was a blessing to me just to be able to tune in. But having said all of that, let me say this, and I think any of you that's been in that situation would say amen and agree. Sitting at home watching it on your laptop is not the same as being in church. And if we go by the pure definition of the word church, folks, the word church means a called out assembly. The verse we read in verse number 25, forsake not the assembling. I'm sorry, but if all of us are sitting at home watching on a device, we have not assembled. Look right up here. That means we really haven't had church. Because church involves an assembling together. And I think that church attendance ought to be a Bible conviction. If I'm going to do something and do it on a regular basis and do it faithfully, I want to have Bible reasons for doing it. And so I don't go to church just because my dad raised us going to church. I don't go to church just because, you know, I go to church first and foremost because it is a Bible conviction in my life. I can give you King James Holy Bible reasons why I'm faithful to church. By the way, I'm going to give you 7 of those reasons tonight. Because I think from time to time, we've all got to be careful, okay? Folks, listen to me. Just sound the trumpet again. I don't know of a person that this is true of in the church. We've just got super faithful people. In fact, we're one of the rare churches that when people come to visit, you know what? They'll come, guy will preach on a Sunday morning. He'll come back on a Sunday night and say, Preacher, your crowd, if anything, seems bigger on Sunday night than Sunday morning. Well, that's because we've got so many folks out ministering. But it's not like, you know, you go to some churches and they'll have 150 on Sunday morning and 90 on Sunday night and 40 on Wednesday night. That's just not Blessed Oak Baptist Church. If you come this Wednesday night, you will not. Now, this Wednesday, we're going to lose a lot of folks. If you go on a regular Wednesday night, you're going to look at the Sunday night crowd and the Wednesday night crowd, and there's not going to be a whole lot of difference. All I can say as a pastor to you, and mean it with all of my heart, thank you for being faithful. Thank you that church attendance is important in your life. And again, if you have to miss, your pastor's not worried about it. He's not thinking bad thoughts about you. If you start missing quite a bit, then you know what? Your pastor's going to get concerned because I should get concerned and I should check on you and I want to make sure you're okay. But sometimes we'll even have families that have sickness. You know, pass through the kids and there may be a 2-week stretch or 3-week stretch where you say, well, where's so-and-so? Well, you know how it is. Come on, sharing is caring. Amen. And, you know, by the time sometimes it runs through an entire family, that's just the way it is. But boy, unless we are providentially hindered, we ought to just make up our mind and just make it a Bible conviction. The church that I'm a member of, you know what? When the doors are open, I'm going to be there. And I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to have my family faithfully into church. Preacher, why do you attend the house of God? Give us 7 Bible reasons why you attend the house of the Lord. Number 1, I want to be obedient to God. The Bible says here in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, folks, that's a direct command from Almighty God. If God commands us to do something and we don't do it, you know, folks, that is the Bible definition of what sin is in our life. If God commands us not to do something and we do it, you know what? That's the Bible definition of what sin is. I believe if I'm able to be to church and I choose not to be in church, that that's a sin against God. I've disobeyed the Bible. Now, we could just about stop the message there and we'd have enough Bible reasons to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Now, you're going to hear all kinds of excuses from people who've decided that they don't need to be in church. Come on, those of you that knock doors in the community, you've heard it over and over again. You know, well, me and, they'll say this disrespectfully, me and the man upstairs just has an agreement about that. No, he didn't reach down into your Bible and erase Hebrews 10:25. You don't make an agreement with God when it comes to sin. Or you'll hear this, I can worship God out in the woods just as well as I can in church. I can worship God sitting by the lake fishing. I can talk to the Lord and he can talk to me. And I've said this to so many people standing right at their door. If you did go out on Sunday morning and you did go fishing and you did have a conversation with the Lord, let me tell you what it would be like. The Lord would be saying, what are you doing here? You disobedient child. Why aren't you in church? No, you're not going to have sweet fellowship with the Lord while you're disobeying him, laying out of church and fishing instead. I want to say a word about, come on, this is good preaching. I want to say a word to our members. When you go on vacation, I hope you're not taking a vacation from the Lord. Okay, when you go on vacation, you ought to be in church. Okay, you ought to figure out your travel time and where you're going and how you're getting there. And you know what? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you know what? You ought to find a good Bible preaching church and just figure it in ahead. Come on, you can figure out all the other parts of the schedule and all the other places you want to go. Why aren't we just as diligent to make sure that as we're traveling, you know what? Church is an important part of our vacation. You see, God places a premium on the assembling of Christians together in one place. And you say, preacher, can I be a Christian and not attend church? Well, I guess you can. It'd be like being a student without going to school, or a tuba player without an orchestra, or a soldier without a unit, or a football player without a team, or a citizen without a country, or a bee without a hive, an explorer without a base camp, a Boy Scout without a church. Troop, it'd be like a business salesman stranded on a deserted island. Let me just answer the question, give you a Bible answer. Yes, it is possible to be a saved Christian and not faithfully attend church, but it is not possible to be an obedient Christian and not attend church. Number one, I want to be obedient to God. Number two, I want to encourage the brethren. If you look at Hebrews 10:25, it goes on. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You back up a verse to verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, an interesting study in the Bible is to do a little word search on the phrase one another, and just see where it's found in the New Testament, especially in the epistles that are written to the local New Testament churches in the New Testament. You know what you'll find out? Every one of us have responsibilities. I call them one another responsibilities. Folks, we're to prefer one another. We're to serve one another. More than the most oft repeated one is we are to love one another. We are to receive one another, admonish one another, greet one another, provoke one another. Wait a minute, wait, two good works, okay. Provoke one another. We are to forbear one another. We're to forgive one another. We're to comfort one another. We're to edify one another. We're to consider one another. We're to exhort one another. Now, those are our one another responsibilities. Let me ask you a question. How can we fulfill our one another responsibilities if we fail to be with one another? And so, again, I want to be an encouragement to the brethren. We receive encouragement by spending time with God's family. I think one of the most important times in the church is the before time before church starts and the after time after it's over. I like getting here early enough. You say, well, you're the preacher. You need to be here early. Well, it's not just because I'm the preacher. I just like to be back there at the door to see the first couple cars come in. I love fellowship time. I love to greet people as they come in. I like to find out how they're doing. I like to ask about their week. I like to share a story, and I like it when someone comes in and shares a story with me. I like standing back there when the bus kids come flooding in. There's one or two or three of them that's always going to find a preacher and tell me some big story. And one of the little girls came to me and says, this is my last week riding the minibus. Well, we run the small bus, I know. I know where we run it, to Marco and over to Lyons and then to Swiss City. And I said, so where do you live? And she told me, we live in Lyons. And I said, so are you moving away? And she said, yes, to Linton. And all she was concerned about is she used to get to ride the little bus, and then it meets the big bus, and she gets on the big bus and comes in with the Linton crowd, but now she doesn't get to ride the minibus anymore. And so I figured out all she's doing is moving from Lyons. So I said, you're still going to ride the Linton bus? Yes, but I don't get to ride the minibus. Boy, she just had to come tell me about that, you know. I love it. I love the fellowship with the young people. I like looking for visitors. I want to greet them. I want to be one of the first ones that comes up and introduces myself. I want to make sure they're welcome. I want to make sure that they get a bulletin and find out their names and figure out where they're from and make sure that they're greeted properly. Folks, listen to me. We have one another responsibilities. Well, preacher, I can sit at home and you know what? I can be right with God, and I can read my Bible and I can pray. Stories told of a preacher that went to visit a man that had begun to become unfaithful to church. And he sat in front of the man's fireplace as the man began to give him reason after reason why he could not assemble with the brethren and still stay right with the Lord. The preacher just sat there and listened to him. And finally, he went over and got one of the fireplace pokers, and he reached in the middle of the fire and pulled out a red hot, white glowing ember. And he dragged it away from the others and took it out by itself on the cement platform there. And then he hung the tool back up and he sat down beside the guy and looked at him and continued listening to all of his reasons why he could not assemble and still stay right with the Lord. And as he's trying to continue this line of argument, he keeps glancing down at that coal, and you know what, here it was white, and then it went to an orange, and then it went to a dull red, and before he got through very many sentences, it had turned black, and he looked and kind of dropped his head and looked over at the preacher and said, all right, preacher, I'll be there Sunday morning. I'll be there Sunday morning. Folks, listen, you're not the exception to the rule, and I'm not the exception to the rule. You know what? I want to be there to encourage the brethren, and I want to be there to receive some encouragement myself. Amen. Number three, I want to be like Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we read this about Christ, and he, talking about Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Listen to this next phrase. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know what he did? He went into the place, the building where God's people gathered, and he did it on the day that they gathered. We understand this is the Old Testament. This is the synagogue. This is for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand it's on Saturday, not Sunday. But what we ought to be focused on in this verse is that Jesus had a custom. Now, what does that mean? A custom simply means this, a repetitive habit. It means a conventionality. It means this, a manner of life. Okay, so Jesus had a repetitive habit. There was a manner that existed in his life. And you know what it was? It was to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Listen, folks, it is impossible to claim Christ's likeness and be unfaithful to church. So number three, I want to be like Jesus. Number four, I don't want to miss what might be a life-changing service. Let me have you go to John chapter 20, because I want to use this portion of scripture for the next 2 points. John chapter 20. And we see that there is a gathering. Matter of fact, it's the first gathering on the first Sunday after the resurrection, on Resurrection Day. In John chapter 20, if you'll look down at verse number 24, John chapter 20 and verse number 24, we see that one of the disciples was not there. Everyone else has assembled, and one of the disciples is not there. In John chapter 20, verse number 24, we see, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Well, let's back up. Verse number 19. Then the same day at, what's the next word? Sometimes people come to me and say, well, it's nothing in the Bible about going to church on Sunday night. Well, I'm sorry, but it just said there, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whomsoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Folks, listen to me. This was a life-changing service. In this assembly, some wonderful, miraculous, first-time key things happened. But Thomas wasn't there. Think about that. Jesus showed up. Amen. Jesus showed up. Folks, I've just been in some services where God just came in and took over. I mean, we know that God's always here. We know Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, he said, in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. So, you know what? We know that Jesus is here, but there's a difference between Jesus being here and Jesus taking over a service. And I've been in those. Listen, Jesus took over this assembly. Not only that, you know what? He helped their faith. And he soothed their doubts by showing the scars in his hand and the wound in his side. And you know what? If any of them were wondering whether or not Jesus had actually risen from the dead, they didn't wonder after this service. Hey, folks, this is the first time that a man has received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. He received it in this service. And guess who received it? The people that were there. Think about that. And you know what? Jesus gave them then some encouragement. He brought some peace to their heart. Come on, in a very troubled time. They were assembled, and while they were assembled, they were fearful of the Jews coming in and finding them and arresting them. And you know what? Jesus says twice to them, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. And folks, I've had weeks like this. You've had weeks like this where it seems like the devil just wreaked havoc in our lives and brought turmoil into our lives. And we wonder how we're going to make it and if we're going to make it. And then you go to church. And it's by the time Sunday's done, you know what? God's just given you exactly what you needed to get through another week. But wait a minute. Thomas wasn't there. As I'm talking about life-changing services, I'm wondering how many of you are looking back over your Christian life and you're thinking back to a point in time where you attended what was for you a life-changing service. And you know, folks, the thing about it is you never know when it will occur. It's not like God is going to send you a memo and say, hey, now listen, you don't want to miss this Wednesday night because I'm going to bring something that's going to change your life. And you know, I wonder, come on, what our young people are missing. I wonder about what our children are missing. Think about that. You know what? I'm glad. Now, folks, think about this. If I would schedule this today, I wonder how many parents would send their teens. But back in the day when I was a teenager, you know when we went to conference? You know when what we attended? We attended something called the Midwinter Retreat down at Tennessee Temple College, Highland Park Baptist Church. Do you know when they scheduled this thing? We would leave the day after Christmas. And we would come back Christmas Eve day in time to come to the New Year's Eve day, and time to come to the New Year's Eve service. Now, can you imagine, Brother AJ, as you're, come on, you're the youth pastor out there, and you're going in front of the Regency Baptist Church people, and you're going to say, now listen, folks, this is the biggest conference of the year, and we're going to leave the day after Christmas, and we're going to come back. I mean, in this day and age, you'd be lucky to have two or three teenagers come. Guess what? We filled the bus and went. Let me say it. You know why? Because the preacher put it on the schedule. You say, well, what's the big deal? Why are you bringing this up? Because my life was changed in a service at the midwinter retreat. Okay, well, that's going to interfere with this plan, and this is going to interfere with our travel. It's going to interfere with this. By the way, don't panic. I'm not planning on sending our teams to a conference that's between Christmas and New Year's. But I'm glad when it was planned, I went. I'm glad I was in the service the night as a young person struggling in my spiritual life. I'm glad I was there the night that Ron Comfort, by the way, we still have Ron Comfort here from time to time. And say, why do you have Brother Comfort here? Because I owe him a debt. And besides that, he's one of the old timers that's still out there. And you know what? I want you to hear his voice while he's still here. But Ron Comfort went to the pulpit and preached on a closing night of the midwinter retreat. Dr. Ron Comfort preached a message on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I don't think ever in my Christian life had I ever pictured and really understood and really seen what it was like when Jesus died. And God just opened my eyes and opened my heart. And I watched my Savior die that night. And I heard him say, if I was willing to do this for you, why aren't you willing to give your life for me? And I walked down an aisle. And my life was changed that night. It was a life-changing service. Are your teenagers this summer going to miss some life-changing services? Are you going to miss a life-changing service? Say, preacher, when did you get called to preach? Sunday morning? Nope. Sunday night? Nope. Wednesday night? Nope. At some camp or conference? Nope. A church in the area had a revival, and my dad got up and said, hey, folks, let's just go be a blessing to this church. And so why don't we all meet on a Tuesday night, and we'll have a bus out here, and we'll all get on the bus, we'll drive over, and we'll just be an encouragement to this church. And I got on that bus and went over to that service, and God called me to preach in that service. Listen, folks, come on. You never know where your life is going to be changed. Thomas had no idea what he was going to miss by deciding that was the service he wasn't. The rest of the disciples assembled, but he decided not to. Which brings me to my third point. Preacher, why do you have a Bible conviction when it comes to church? Why do you faithfully attend church? Number five, I don't want to be found faithless. Now let's read the rest of the story. Come on, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. You know what? They were convinced. Their lives were changed. Their faith was strong. Well, let's listen to what he said. But he said, Thomas said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And then he said, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Listen, folks, and be not faithless, but believing. You know what the Bible says in Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Notice it was the disciple who missed the gathering who later also struggled with his faith. Look right up here, and I'll just tell you a common denominator. Believe me, don't believe me, but I'll say this every great once in a while. I didn't fall off the turn-up truck. I drove it in here. I've been doing this a long time. I deal front lines with Christians that are going through things that test their faith. Let me tell you the ones that pass with flying colors. It's the ones that are faithful attenders of the house of God. Without exception, let me tell you the ones that struggle when they are faced with tough times. It's the hit and miss, sometimes here, sometimes not, Christian. You know why? because their faith has not been built up the way it should have been built up. Think about that. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, preacher, I can sit at home and listen to it on tape. I can read it myself. I can listen to an app on my phone. That's not talking about preaching. Well, context is your friend. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Sounds like it's talking about preachers and preaching to me. But they have not all obeyed the voice. Obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is a section in the Bible that's talking about preachers and preaching. And I will tell you, your faith will be built up by the preaching of God's word in a way that it never will and never can be by you sitting at home and reading the Bible for yourself. There's some things that are going to be manifest through preaching that will never be manifest to you any other way. Do you have Bible? I do. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Come on, to lost people, the preaching is foolishness, a waste of time, but unto us who are saved, it is the, listen to this phrase, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. And God will come in power in a way during a preaching service. I'm not saying you can't get some things out of devotions. I'm not saying it's not important to read your Bible for yourself. Listen, Titus chapter 1, preacher, I'm not convinced. All right, let's let the Bible convince you. Titus chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Listen, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I have. There's been times where, you know what, I'll go and I've studied a section of scripture and I've read that section of scripture over and over and over again. And I think there's nothing else that could be in that portion of scripture, in that story, that I haven't discovered and found on my own. And I'll go to a preaching service and have a preacher get up and he'll all of a sudden bring something out of that portion of scripture. And I'll think to myself, how in the world did I miss that? And God manifested something through preaching that he would never manifest to me in any other way. Folks, we've got to be very careful. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, that we're not guilty of disobeying this command. Despise not prophesying. And the word despise here in this portion of scripture does not mean to hate. It's not talking about somebody that walks around saying, I hate preaching. Prophesying simply means the speaking forth of God's word. And so it's talking about preaching. It's saying, listen, don't undervalue. It's not, the word despiser means undervalue. Don't undervalue preaching. And if we begin to get the attitude of just let's take it or leave it. Sunday morning's important, but Wednesday Bible study's not. And Sunday morning is important, but Sunday school's not. Sunday morning's important, but we don't have to come back Sunday night. We begin to get that attitude. There's going to be some things that are never manifested to you that other Christians are getting. And listen to me, when the devil turns the heat up in your life, you are not going to have the depth of faith that others have who are faithful to the preaching of God's word. Reason number 6. Listen to this. Boy, this hits close to home for me. Number 6, I want to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors and my lost family members. Matthew 5:14 says this, ye are the light of the world. Listen, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And once you declare your faith in Christ, once you make that public profession, let me tell you something. Everybody that hears it and everybody knows it begins to watch you. Amen. Cannot be hid. They begin to watch you. You know what my mom and dad's testimony is? They got saved. Come on, you've heard it so many times. They got saved. I have Jerry Purcell come to our church and share a testimony about it. But my mom and dad got saved because we had Christian neighbors who, you know what, kept inviting us to church, Come on, giving us the tracts, giving us the times of the services, inviting us to church. It was a long time before mom and dad went the first time. But I'll tell you this. My dad could abide a lot of things in the world, but the one thing he could not abide is a hypocrite. And I wonder how many people are going to die and go to hell because of Christians that are hypocrites. Okay, think about that. My dad took that track and he looked at me. This is his story. I heard it from his lips. I've heard him say it from the pulpit. He'd take that track and look at the service times. And you know what he'd do when it came a little bit before 7 o'clock on a Sunday night? He'd go over to the curtain, look out the window, and see if the Purcell's vehicle was there, see whether or not they're leaving for church. You know what he did begin to check on a Wednesday night? You know what? If they had been faithful, I promise you this. I know my dad. He would have never darkened the door of that church. Where would I be today? Where would I be today? Yes, thank God they invited us to church. But folks, listen to me. I want to thank God tonight they went to church. And they went faithfully to church. And you know what? Once my dad got saved, you know what? I know people grow in grace. I know it's not, come on, the 1960s, but man alive, are you kidding me? My dad, when he got saved, you know what? We didn't start 6 months going just Sunday mornings. And then, you know, then 6 months of going to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. Then a year and a half later, decide to try. I mean, my dad said, if we're Christians, come on, this is a guy that just got saved. And yet he said, if we are Christians and we receive Christ as our Savior, then you know what? We're going to be in church every time the doors open. And he said that having not been saved a week, and he knew better than to miss out on church. Now think about that, folks. Listen to me. I want to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors. Let me give you the last reason. Number 7, I want God to know that he can count on me. I want God. Listen, I love y'all, but the primary reason I come isn't for you. And I don't want the primary reason you come to be for me. You know what? I think that I want to be faithful to church just because I want God to look down and say, you know what, buddy, I'll tell you what. You know, if Jerry Ross isn't providentially hindered, he's in church. Proverbs 20, verse 6, listen, most men, come on. This is true in America today. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Can you be counted upon to be faithful? Let me ask you this. Not only can God count on you, can your pastor count on you? I mean, could your pastor assign you a job and not have to worry about whether you're there to faithfully carry it out? He's got to have a backup for a backup for a backup because folks are so unfaithful. Every Sunday, things falling through the cracks. And I want to thank those of you that have positions in the church. And you know there's a procedure and a way we do it and some things you've got to follow. But I'm so thankful. By the time someone comes to me and says, preacher, we're not going to be here this weekend. And I'm in my mind trying to think of all of their duties and responsibilities. I love it when they just look at me and say, don't worry, preacher. We've already contacted the ministry leaders, and they know, and there's already people in place. And you know what? I don't even have to worry about it. Thank you for doing that. Theodore Roosevelt, think about this, had a fixed habit. Sounds like Jesus. A fixed habit of church attendance. Would to God in my lifetime I could say we had one president that I could say that of. I can't say that of one in my lifetime. And that's a shame. That's a wicked shame. But Theodore Roosevelt had a fixed habit of church attendance. This continued throughout his presidency. Listen to this. This is the testimony of the pastor of his church. The pastor of his church always received a letter or message from the president when he expected to be out of town explaining his absence. You know, folks, listen to me. That's just kind of common courtesy. You're not going to understand this because you've never pastored. Most of you have never pastored. But when you're not here, I don't think the worst, but I worry. Come on, the under-shepherd's going to be worried about the sheep if they don't show up. And you know what? I think a president of the United States, I'd say that's a pretty important position. If he was going to miss Sunday because of some trip that he was on or some duty that he had, would make sure that he got a telegram or some type of a message or a letter to his pastor saying, hey, I didn't want you to worry. Just want to let you know that I'll see you the Sunday after, but I'm going to be out of town. We're going to be out of town. You know what happened to those days? Let's be faithful. Can your pastor, can your church count on you? Can God count on you? I'll finish with this illustration. Newspaper article in 1974 reported that a man by the name of Leo Fortier, think about this, had rung the church bell of his parish in Three Rivers, Quebec, every Sunday for 52 years. That's quite a record of faithfulness. You say, preacher, that's like almost impossible. I mean, did he ever get sick, never get sick? I mean, who could do something like that? I don't know. I imagine that meant he showed up sometimes when he really didn't feel like it. That means he probably showed up some Sundays when it was pretty hard to get there. But you know what he said? I've got a job. Come on, church. I've got a job. Something my pastor counts on me for doing, but more important, something that I'm doing for the Lord. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be there. And I think to myself, 52 years. Think about that. 52 Sundays every year of 52 years. And that man was out there ringing the church bell. I don't know about you, but that kind of puts me in a little bit under conviction. Lord, I just want to be faithful. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Young people, you ought to make church attendance. Come on, we talked this morning about making commitments, young people making commitments. You ought to just settle this matter right now. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Make some vows, make some commitments. Some of you ought to just settle this matter right now in your youth and just come to an altar and make a promise to the Lord and say, Lord, good times, bad times, no matter what the culture becomes, whether it's hard, whether it's easy, unless I'm providentially hindered, I'm going to be a Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, church attender in the right kind of a church, faithful in my place, serving. You ought to just settle it tonight. Have you gotten a little bit? Come on. Unfaithful. Has the Holy Spirit come alongside you and just said, you know, you're missing some times when you really could have been there. Folks, listen to me. Everybody that's out of church, I mean all the way out of church, began by starting to excuse sporadic church attendance. You know, let's let the Bible, come on, let's let the Bible settle this thing in our life. Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of your word. Lord, we ask, dear God, that you'd use it. Dear God, for our benefit, please for our good, but mostly, dear God, for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to let the piano player play the invitation.